This is Pastor Brad Bristow welcoming you to the Cornerstone Airdrie Audio Podcast. Each week, we do our best to upload the sermon audio from our services. If you would like to connect with us, you can go to our website, cornerstonefoursquarechurch.com, and you can also find us on social media. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/cornerstoneairdrie, and follow us on Twitter at csairdrie. You can also subscribe to our podcast and get new messages delivered right to you by clicking on the subscribe button on iTunes or the subscribe to this podcast link on our website and following the prompts. And if you're able to, what would be a big help would be to rate and review us on iTunes for our podcast. It may sound funny to ask that, but what it does is gives us a larger presence on iTunes where more people can find us. With all of that said, we pray that this message is something that God will use to speak to you. We know that God wants to speak to us, and through our messages, we hope that the Holy Spirit is able to be speaking to you. He loves us still,
even when we are so bad. It was really interesting to me when we had our 25th anniversary celebration a couple of weeks ago. One of the themes, as we had asked some people in the congregation to share about the impact that the church had made on them, the impact that that God had made on them through the church, one of the themes that continually came up as people shared, one theme that came up was family, was that the people kept talking about how as a church we become like an extended family to each other, that the way that we loved and cared and ministered to each other, the way that we were there for each other, it was about family. That's who we were, and that's what we were to each other. And for me, as I sat and listened to these testimonies of what Airdrie, Foursquare, Waterbrook Community, Cornerstone Church had been to all of these people throughout the years, it was so affirming to me, because as we've looked at transitioning the leadership of the Airdrie campus and a new season, and I really had been asking God, what is it that you have for us as a church? What is it that we're supposed to be? What is it that the Airdrie campus is to be about to each other, and what are we supposed to lean into? And the word that God had given me months ago was the word family. That we are to be a family to each other and a family for each other. In Mark chapter 3, Jesus is teaching in a house when his mom and his brothers come to visit him. They come to have a word with him, and they come to talk to him, and Jesus is teaching to another group of people, and he becomes alerted to their presence, and people will say, Jesus, your mom and your brothers are here to talk to you. Do you have a minute, or what should they do? And then we read in verse 34, then he, Jesus, looked at those seated in a circle around him and said, here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and my sister and my mother. As everyone's gathered around him, gathered to hear him speak, when his parents show up, his mom and his brothers show up, Jesus says, this is my family. All of these people gathered around me, this is my family. Everyone who does the will of my Father is my family. And that was the word that God had for me, for us, as a church. We are a family together. The tentpole identity for the Airdrie campus is going to be family. Jesus says, whoever does God's will is his family. And so as we come together as a community and desire to do God's will and do our best to live out God's will in our lives, we become a family together. There's lots of symbolism and traits that can come out of family. Lots of things that we can say about our family that apply to a church body. You don't get to pick your family. You are a family no matter what happens. You rally and around and support your family, whatever it is that they're going through. You forgive your family. You spend time with your family. There's all kinds of things that we can say about family and what it means to be a family. But we don't have time to cover all of it, at least not this week. So over the next several weeks, we're going to be looking at church culture and who we're called to be as the Airdrie campus. And as we do that, we're going to look at some of these themes of family, what it means to be a family, what it means to be a family here specifically, and how we can each be contributing and growing and uniting the family together. Next week, we're going to talk about serving and being involved here at Cornerstone Church Airdrie and how it's important for the entirety of the body that we're all doing our part, that we're all contributing, that we're all finding ways that we can make this more like a family. And we're going to be talking about some specific places where we currently have nobody to serve in. We have no women's coordinator to coordinate a women's ministry. We have no men's coordinator to coordinate a men's ministry. We have no kids coordinator to coordinate the kids ministry that's happening right now. We have tremendous and faithful volunteers who are working hard on our kids ministry, but we don't necessarily have a point person for all of that. And then, but we're going to really be talking about the why and the what of serving in your church family, what it means to serve and why we should be serving. But the key is this. As Cornerstone Church, we follow Jesus together. But in the Airdrie campus, as family we go. That will be our tagline. That's our motto, if you will. For our Airdrie campus, as family we go. That as the greater Cornerstone Church, we will follow Jesus together. But as our family, we go together. As family, we go follow Jesus together. We are a family. And as a family, we walk through life together. We walk through the ups and the downs, the bad, the good, the exciting and the mundane, all of the parts of life, all of the things that make up what life consists of. We will go through it all together with the heart and the spirit of a family. We may not be a family by blood, but we're a family that's been bought by blood. We live in a culture that wants to teach us that being independent and having the ability to not need anything from anyone is right near the top of the list of things that are really important to have in your life. That you need to be independent. You need to be not reliant on others. You need to not look to others. If you want to really be all that you can be, at least a big part of what you need to be is independent. And we look to and we admire people who have those abilities. So many of our pop culture heroes are loners and who don't need anyone around them to help them do the job. So many movie heroes are the one-man army. So many movie heroes are the guy who doesn't need anybody else. He's on his own and he can do it. And we look to and we admire that. We value the concept of being self-made. Our culture tells us that to be happy and successful, we need to be primarily true to ourselves. And having an independent spirit and personality is something that's seen as a strength. That's something that is important, that is a sign of a good thing in somebody's life if they are independent, if they have an individualistic mindset, if they are able to do everything without anyone. And with the powerful waters of culture surrounding us from the moment of birth, we can unintentionally end up with a faith that's more influenced by aspects of the culture around us than we realize, and we can end up living out a faith that's been deeply influenced by individualistic culture. And when we do that, we can end up with a distorted view and a distorted approach to our faith that ultimately leaves us lonely, isolated, and alone. Because culture and society around us tells us that not needing nothing from nobody is good and right, that that's who we should be and that's what we should be. But when we look at Scripture, we see a very different picture. When we look at how God created us to live in Scripture, we discover that it's not about individualism at all. It's not about fending for ourselves, and it's not about being true to me. when we go all the way back to the beginning, back to Genesis chapter 1, back to the beginning of all things, back to the creation account, the first pages of the Bible, we read that the author of Genesis goes on to tell us that when God finished the process of creation, as God worked through creating the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that's within them, he would take a step back after each thing he created. He would survey everything that he saw, and he would say, "It is good. It's good." That's what he saw. God created light, and God saw that it was good. God separated the land from the sea, and God saw that it was good. God created vegetation, and God saw that it was good. God created the sun and the moon, and God saw that that was good. God created the animals of the sea, and God saw that it was good. You're probably picking up the theme. God created the animals of the land, and God saw that it was good. God created humanity, and God saw that it was very good. Clearly, God was happy with everything he created, and he pronounced every single part of everything that he made to be good. However, at the end of this account, God had yet to create a second human. Adam was completely alone. And God notices this, and in Genesis chapter 2, when he looks at a single human living alone, God says something, living alone outside of the context of community, we hear God say something that he hadn't said before. When God looks at Adam living outside of the context of community, solely alone by himself, God says, "It's not good. It's not good for man to be alone." God saw that everything he had made was good, but then when he looks at man outside of community and an individualistic person, and a single individual, he will say, "That's not good. It's not good that man should be alone." God knew it's not healthy for Adam to live life on his own outside of community with others. And God said, "That's not good." So to change the situation that God saw to be not good, God created the first community of two people and invited them to experience life together in intimate and meaningful ways. And then God actually commands them to go out and make even more community together. From the first human beings God created us to be communal beings who crave and actually need to live life in the context of authentic, independent relationship with others. We were created for community. Living life as an individual apart from relationships with other people was never a part of what God wanted. That was never a part of what God's plan for us was. That was never a part of who we were supposed to be. We were created to be in communion with each other. When God looked at us living apart, he said, "It's not good." And when we read, or we even read, that God saw the value in this new community that God was building with these people, God himself wanted in when it came to this new community. Scripture will say in Genesis that God would often take afternoon walks in the cool part of the day with Adam and Eve. That God entered into community with Adam and Eve, building and participating in the community with them. And then when things turned bad, God still operated out of community with them. We read that even as Adam and Eve sinned and turned their back on God, God came looking for them. God came to find them inside relationship and inside community. He came and said, he came to look for them. He didn't speak from heaven on high. We'll say that Adam and Eve hid from him because God came looking for them, just like you would do in the context of a relationship. So when we look at creation, we discover that God created us for community with each other. community with God and community with each other. And when we turn ahead in Scripture to Jesus, to Jesus, we don't see a change in this message. We don't somehow see that the idea of community is brought to an end and that Jesus institutes something new. We see Jesus affirm this construct of us as people and our need for each other. It's easy to look at the story of Jesus in the Gospels, the relationship that Jesus had with his disciples, and mistakenly see them simply as a teacher and a bunch of students who followed him. That Jesus went and did his thing, and all of the disciples just followed at a distance. And as they walked through life, Jesus was doing his thing, and the disciples followed behind. But the relationship that Jesus had with his disciples was so much more than just some hangers-on or just some people that were extremely committed to him, but that he was just simply their teacher. Throughout their time together, we see that this was a mutual, two-way community, with Jesus not only leading his disciples, but serving them as well. The most famous example is, of course, Jesus washing his disciples' feet. That he would humbly and gently get down on his hands and knees and go disciple to disciple, washing their feet. We see Jesus not only comforting and sharing the burden of his disciples, that when they came to him, Jesus was there for them. But we also see Jesus coming to his disciples and asking his disciples to share his own burdens as well. On the last night before Jesus was betrayed and before Jesus was crucified, we see Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane with his disciples. And he's practically begging them, "Guys, can you please stay awake and pray? Can you please stay here with me just for a little bit longer? I just need you. I need you guys here with me. Please don't go to sleep." And fear and anxiety were overwhelming Jesus. That Scripture will talk about that he sweat blood. And we know that medically it's not just simply a metaphor, but that's an actual condition that you can have when the stress is so great that the blood vessels in your skin begin to pop and blood begins to come out of your forehead like sweat does. And so we can know that Jesus was going through an incredible amount of stress. And in this time, he turns to his friends. He turns to his family, to his disciples, and says, "Guys, I need you here with me. Can you help me?" Jesus, the Son of God, was able to walk on water, make food appear out of thin air, was able to save a party with the water to wine miracle. He told a storm to knock it off. He was able to make lame people walk, blind people see, deaf people hear, even putting a severed ear back on a person. And he even told a man who had been dead for 4 days to wake up. But there's one thing that Jesus didn't do. One thing that Jesus didn't want to do. Jesus didn't experience the ups and downs of life outside of the context of a close, authentic relationship. Jesus, the one who created the entire universe, John 1 will tell us that through him all things were created. That Jesus, who created everything, chose a community of close friends with whom to share his burdens. Not even God himself wanted to live outside of authentic community with other people. We were created to live life together. God himself modeled for us what it means to live life together. The life of Jesus can teach us so many things, but among the most important is that the best way to live our life is not through a hyper-focus on individualism or independency, but through a community and through a relationship where we can share our lives openly and authentically with other people around us. And so, if we would say, I want to do my best to follow Jesus, I want to do everything I can do to be like Jesus, I want to do my best to live the life that God has called me to live, then we need to be doing that with other people. That's what Jesus modeled for us. That's what Scripture tells us we were created for. Inviting our church family into our lives and discovering how we can live life together. Now, you may have noticed, in the last few minutes of this message, I've said the phrase life together a few times, which may make you think, I wonder if he's talking about life together groups. Congratulations. That's pretty much true. At Cornerstone Church, one of the core ways that we as a church have looked to live life together is through our life together groups. But we have a bit of a problem this year. We don't really have very many life together groups. In fact, we have none. At least here in Airdrie. We don't have any life together groups here in Airdrie. That puts a bit of a cramp in, we're going to live life together through our life together groups. I guess we're not. But I want to talk to you today about living life together and what that really means. And hopefully there can be some stirring inside of you that say, I could do this with other people. I can live life with others. And we'll talk about what the context of a life together group and all of those things, but hopefully you'll leave today with a bit of a, I never thought about it that way. I can do that. I could be a part of that. The goal of our life together groups was never a network of Bible studies that happened throughout the week. The goal was always to have people sharing life together and doing whatever it was that happened as they did that. And we had a group of dedicated leaders that were discipling our church through life together groups, through Bible study groups, and that was and is, of course, not anything wrong. Part of living life together is studying Scripture together. Those are not independent, and they are connected. That we, if we are to live life together and live the life that God has called us to do, we need to make sure that Scripture is a part of that. But that became the full concept of what life together was. That if I was to say to you about a life together group, the picture that you would come to mind immediately was a Bible study. That's what our life together groups were. But when God saw that it wasn't good, that man would do Bible study on his own. It was not good that man was alone. And so God didn't create woman so that man would have someone to do Bible study with. God created woman so that man would have someone to do life with. It wasn't just about Bible study, it was about living life. And so what I want to talk to us today Or what I want to talk to us about today is the need for us to change the way we see our life together groups, the way we live life together. Life together doesn't necessarily mean a Bible study night. It doesn't have to be not a Bible study night, but it also doesn't mean simply a Bible study night. Living life together doesn't mean just doing Bible studies together. Jesus lived with his disciples. He sat with them. He ate with them. He laughed with them. He traveled with them. He sailed with them. He fished with them. He did all kinds of things with his disciples. And so I want to invite us to be really willing to live your life together, to share our lives. Maybe you enjoy playing board games, Jeremy. Maybe you have an entire room in your house dedicated to board games, Jeremy. What a great way to live life together. To share life around a board game. Maybe you have a dog, and that dog needs to be walked. And there's other people in church that also have dogs, and those dogs also need to be walked. What an opportunity to live life together. Maybe you have a little kid, and that kid could use some other little kids to play with. And we have a nursery that sits upstairs, not used, save 2 hours a week. What an opportunity to live life together. Maybe you like to exercise. Maybe you like to eat. Maybe you like to do whatever it is that you like to do. Maybe there's a life together group of people that could coordinate their grocery shopping. And once every 2 weeks at Superstore at 10 in the morning on Mondays, there's a life together group that gets their grocery shopping done together. What an opportunity to live life together. That's living life. Grocery shopping is a part of life. We don't have to do all kinds of things that are separate from the life we're already doing. We can invite other people into what it is that we're doing. You see, around a board game, we can share what's happening in our lives. We can share our lives and ourselves while we walk a dog, while the kids play, or while the chef is preparing our food. We can pray for each other. We can love each other. We can support each other, and we can live life together. The only catch to all of this is that we have to do it together. The only catch is you have to invite somebody to come along with you and do it with you. Whatever you're doing, if you can do it with other people, you can live life together while you're doing it. We don't have to add something to our lives. We can invite other people along to the things we're already doing. Now, you may say, I don't like people. I just like being by myself. And I can identify with that. I really have a high value in alone time. Maybe it's having 3 kids that I like not having them around sometimes, but I do. I have a big value on alone time. Sunday afternoons, often almost 52 times a year, but maybe not quite. Sunday afternoons, I'll go for a big long walk by myself. Part of it is just to decompress from Sunday. Part of it is just a chance to be alone for a little while and listen to a podcast or something while I'm walking. But I could invite you to come for a walk with me. I could give up my alone time and say, I'm going to invite somebody in the church want to go for a walk? Come on, let's go for a walk. But I'm part of a family. And the thing with people is that when there's people, there's other people. And when we are a family, it doesn't matter what our preference is. We are a family. And so we need to choose to be a family together. We need to share ourselves with each other. Proverbs 18:24 has an incredibly profound statement that I'd like to share with you. You may want to get your notepads out for this one. It's pretty remarkable. A man who has friends must himself be friendly. Pretty good, huh? You want to have friends? You got to be friendly. It's awfully hard to make friends if we stand over by ourselves in the corner and not talk to anybody. It's awfully hard for other people to connect with us if we remove ourselves from the ability to be connected. If you want to have friends, be friendly. if you want to have family, we need to be family. I don't know. People never reach out to me. Then you reach out. Well, when I do reach out, it seems like nobody reaches back. Then keep reaching. Because we're family, and that's what family does. My wife has taught me that to an incredible degree. Is I wouldn't talk to people if it wasn't for my wife. But she says, you should message your brother and tell him congratulations, he got a new job. You should do this. You should message my brother. You should message your mom. You should she shows me that I need to reach out to other people. We need family when we're down to come alongside of us and say, hey, let's go. We are family. There's more to life than this. Let's go. We're going to be all right because we're family and we're in this together. But I don't want to get up. Too bad. You're going to get up and you're going to dust yourself out and we're going to go get something to eat. But I don't want to go out and eat. Too bad. You're going to go out and you're going to eat and you're going to talk and you're going to act like you like it. But I don't like people. No, you do like people and you need people and you like me, so get up, let's go, I'll pay. All right, I guess I'll go. We're not created to live life alone, secluded, or independent of other people. God himself sought out relationships with others, and we need to do the same. We cannot live lives as an island. We need each other. You need us, and we need you. We are a family, and as family we go.
Thanks for listening today. We hope that this message has encouraged you, inspired you, and challenged you. If you would like to be in contact with us, you can find the contact information for the pastoral team at Cornerstone Airdrie by going to our website, cornerstonefoursquarechurch.com, and clicking on the About section, followed by the Staff link. Also available on our website are all kinds of information about our ministries, programs, and all of the things that are going on here at Cornerstone. And you can also connect with us on social media. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/cornerstoneairdrie, follow us on Twitter at CSAirdrie. And one more time, if you're able to, what would be a big help would be to rate and review us on iTunes for our podcast. It may sound funny to ask that, but what it does is it gives us a bigger presence on iTunes, where more people can find us. Thanks again for listening. As family we go.
we sing this again, let it be a declaration over you, over your family, over your churches, over this nation ultimately. And our prayer is that God would be the head, he would be the center of his church again. That every wall would be torn down. There would be no more division, no more strife. Amen? Can we believe that tonight? Can we just lift our hands? Father, that's our cry, that you would make us one, that you would unify us through your spirit, that you'd be glorified again through your body. Make us one.